Good afternoon. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me in the studio is Phil Conlon, Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
Got to talk calendar here. People have to know that we're going to be, as of next Monday, we will be coming at 11 a.m. at CIUT. We're moving from 5 to 11. We're going, down, what is it, early in time. That's a step up. We're going to be following Democracy Now. It's been doing a lot of wonderful work, particularly on this crisis in Gaza, which grows more worrisome every day. Remind everybody that the International Court of Justice has ordered the State of Israel report on its conduct and whether or not it's following the instructions given to them about observing the Geneva Convention. I can tell you the short version is they're not. And the big question is, will there be an attempt to transfer 1.3 million people into the desert? That seems to be the danger.
To walk, I'm going just the same. I'm going to Kansas City.
Aha. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT. And I just have to say, I'm not a Kansas City Chief fan. I'm a Mahomes fan. Mahomes is a quarterback for Kansas City. I can't even say his first name, but all those who were betting and all those who were watching, here's the deal. The 49ers, you could say, maybe had the best team, but one of the guys who wasn't on their team was Mahomes. And his style of play is affecting football now. I don't know, Phil, if you watch these things. Phil is a baseball man, so
yeah.
And I'm the Phil who's the football guy, so I'll do this. Patrick Mahomes, pardon me. Hey, by the way, Phil, Patrick's father was a Major League Baseball pitcher.
Okay, I was recognizing the name. And
now you can relate.
Right, yeah.
So here's the deal. One thing you learn if you're a baseball pitcher is, you have to be free. The first test is, can you throw hard, fast? He could do that. But the other thing is accuracy. Accuracy in baseball, you know, that pitch has got to be it can't be over the plate. It's got to be along the margins. And Mahomes is a good pitcher. He's actually a good baseball pitcher. Actually, so was Kaepernick, but that's all forgotten about now. Actually, Kaepernick is officially forgotten. You can officially be told, don't mention his name, although he has tremendous impact on the NFL. This is a black quarterback, but who, with a professional sports family background, so many, a higher and higher percentage in NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball, you have the children of men and women whose parents were professionals, and there's no doubt they have an advantage. One thing is that they get the advantage of just interacting with high caliber sports organizations and with players, and they learn things. And Mahomes shows, I think, a connection between basketball and football, because he understands that it's a fluid situation. When the ball is snapped, the situation is fluid, and those who will have the most success are the ones who, through careful training and thought, adapt to what they see in front of them. If you basketball, for example, is the greatest in like soccer, everything's in motion, and you have to make decisions quick. And if you are good at it, and you think about it, you can tweak the movements, because it's a pattern with football. You have everybody. There's a play, and everybody knows what the play is. But of course, the guy on the other side doesn't want you to succeed, so he's going to make a shambles out of your play if he can. But when you have a Mahomes-type quarterback player, he adapts quickly to what he sees. Even while it's, you know, as it's going on, he doesn't think about it, you know, in between plays. He's already, he knows if he's, certain things are within his eyesight, he will make a change. And I think that he really needs to be credited as innovative, his course got great coaching and all that, but I got a big kick out of it. But I would say, since it's professional sport, I'm on the side of the athletes, every last one of them, you know, because their lives are knees, feet. So many of these players, nobody ever knows their names, who are out there, who get really badly hurt, have short careers, and often there's things like dementia, let's face it, it comes up. So when I see a player that seems remarkable, I'm on his side. I want him to succeed. And the name of the team doesn't interest me so much. I want to see, if you see some, it's like you would say in music, if you see a great singer in an operatic, and they can't control the venues that they might find themselves in. And so you pull for them, even no matter where they are, because you know they have that talent. So I'm confessing that I was for Mahomes and secondarily for the Chiefs.
Phil, I got to say that goes entirely against the thinking of being a partisan fan of a team, yes, which is what we learned as kids, right? Like you know, I grew up believing that everybody on the New York Yankees was actually an evil human being, which of course, they weren't.
No.
But they beat my team, so I didn't like them. But, I mean, of course, it's but you're quite right. I mean, it's they all struggled to get there, and it's all – they're really – they, every year, it's a struggle to hang on and not get cut and not get jettisoned, and there's a lot of heartbreak in it. Of course, the crowd that owns the Blue Jays here, they had a wonderful team 2 years ago, but those guys were having a good time and respected each other and really loved the game, and the fans loved them. So they said, you're having too much fun here. You know, get rid of you. You know. So.
Well, yeah, there's the model.
Yeah.
Management sets up, and it can lead to good results or it can lead to disastrous results. Dallas Cowboys are, for example, is a corporation with a model, and there seems to be a flaw in it somewhere. I'm not going to help them understand what it is because, number one, I don't know what it is, but there's something about Dallas. Anyhow, one last thing on the football thing, and this is a curiosity for us. Phil, we could talk about that. When the game ends throughout the season and through the playoffs, although not in the final game, I don't believe, but at any rate, the players cross the field and talk to each other, often share jerseys. But in soccer, they share jerseys,
yes,
too.
And very common.
You talk about the animus. Yeah. See, they do see each other as players. And when you're at the skill level they're at, you know that other guy because he's part of your mental makeup. You're thinking, I've got to beat him. He's good. You don't say, oh, he's a bum. He's from Brooklyn. No. You think he can play, and I'm going to have to be able to do this to stop him. But I like him. Well, there's no animosity. You just want to beat him. And the NBA does it. But get a load of this, Phil. Baseball doesn't. You notice? They don't. There's no intermingling after a game. The guys sit in the dugout, particularly in the playoffs, and just look at the other guys.
they glare sometimes.
They don't come out and shake hands. Yeah. They don't come out and...
Yeah, but you know where you see it, especially when Vladdy Guerrero is the first baseman. A guy gets on base, right? And it's and
they chat him up.
They chat him up. They really do. But the announcers are quick to point out to you, oh, that's a trick. You see, he's trying to distract him.
Not a trick at all.
But
you
realize it's not a trick. Yeah.
No, there are some first basemen who know how to trick you.
Yeah.
But he's not one of them. He's a baseball family. Yeah. He knows a lot of these guys. His father, and he knows their fathers because they live in the same social circles. So enough baseball. This is Taylor Reports, CIUT. Next week, We're going to be on at 11 a.m. 11 a.m. So you have to set your clock so that the alarm rings, Taylor Report, 11 o'clock. Or actually, instead of at 10, get Democracy Now. We're going to be following them. And that's the 19th. And listeners, Taylor Report will be happy to know there's a new book by Eve Engler and Owen Schauk, and it's called Canada's Long Fight Against, of all things, Democracy. And it shows that far from the rhetoric, the Canada's history in countries, I'll let you read it because it's semi-dark here and I can barely see. Read those chapters.
So these are the names of the chapters. Iran, 1953. Colombia, 1953. Guatemala, 1954. The Democratic Republic of the Congo, 1961. The Dominican Republic, 1963. Brazil, 1964. Indonesia, 1965. Ghana, 1966. Greece, 1967. Uganda, 1971. Chile, 1973. Peru, 1992. Russia, 1993. Haiti, 2004. Palestine, 2006. Honduras, 2009. Paraguay, 2012. Ukraine, 2014. Brazil, 2016. Bolivia, 2019. Peru, 2022. And Venezuela, 2017. To the present.
Thank you very much.
If I didn't know better, I thought we might be talking about things the U.S. did that were bad, but this book's about Canada.
Well, this is, you know, the deputy sheriff, you know, the U.S. gave us a badge and a pistol and not a bomb. We can't have a bomb. And we haven't got any missiles, but the boss has missiles, so that we're perfectly safe. And we get to help them overthrow people. Actually, my memory is that Eve Engler really was the voice at the time of the removal of Aristide as president. Here he was, the most popular president probably in Haitian history. And he was removed. And the meeting to remove him, the biggest meeting that they held, was held in Canada. And Canada hosted and helped and played a role for services, you know, rendered. Again, the title is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. And it's Eve Engler and Owen Schauk. And it's Baraka Books. We just received it today. We anticipate maybe we will work on it. Maybe next Monday we will be able to get Eve Engler to talk about this. It's a... each of those places, particularly, good heavens, you know, you think about Chile, what a grisly situation brought Allende. Canada had a dirty role. Actually, speaking of dirty roles, they're playing one now. King Abdullah is going to be here from Jordan on Wednesday. He's seeing President Biden tomorrow, and then he comes through. He flies out over Canada, may as well talk to the prime minister. And what is happening here is complicity in the crimes that are being committed, according to the International Court of Justice, by the Israeli government in Gaza, where the big one being the population transfer issue. And we've stressed that the Taylor Report talking about this is that King Abdullah, and then there's the king of Saudi Arabia. There is President Sisi of Egypt. These are the people that is being talked to by the United States. These are American assets. Not that they have 100% control, because these assets really don't want to lose their asset quality, but they are awfully close. I don't know if you've heard, Phil, but there is talk that the Egyptian government is saying aloud that they may cancel the Camp David agreements because they have not been lived up to by Israel, number one. The Camp David agreements are all a joke. But it, you know, this is the story of recognition. You know, we recognize you in when you recognize the Palestinian rights. Now we have a new prime minister. We have Bibi, who says that he's not going to recognize a Palestinian state, which is kind of a funny thing to say because the Palestinian state actually already exists. But he's not going to.
But Phil, can I ask you? But President Sisi of Egypt says, or is thinking, this is like a joke, the Camp David Accords. But hasn't he known that for the past 20 years? I mean, doesn't the whole world know that the Camp David Accords are
yes,
a joke?
Yes, of course. I mean, yeah. They've gone through the disgrace of Sadat, right?
Yeah.
Sadat was assassinated by a patriotic Egyptian. I urge people to go. You can watch the film of it if you want to see. He was all dressed up in his best uniform, and the army was marching by, and one member of the army came up to meet him and killed him. And then when they had the funeral, they had Henry Kissinger and I think Carter and others, and they were all wearing they had to wear bulletproof vests to attend the funeral of Sadat. And they didn't hold it in the city. They held it like in a place where no public access, which told you that the Egyptian people, their heart is with Abdel Nasser. They had a great modern anti-colonial progressive figure in Abdel Nasser. And everybody since has been under the thumb of the Americans, though restive, R-E-S-T-I-V, restive, uncomfortable. And we're reaching an uncomfortable moment for Egypt. Egypt is actually the most important country in the region in terms of population and historical role. And Egyptians have been humiliated by the circumstances they're under. Now, here we are with 1.3 million people in Rafah. They're being attacked under bombing. It's not a war. They show me on television, the Israeli artillery just firing, lobbing shells onto the people of Gaza, and of course, drones and missiles, etc. They say they're fighting an organization called Hamas, but Hamas doesn't have any artillery, and they do occasionally fire off one of these missiles, homemade missiles that bounce off. It's a totally false characterization. It's actually an assault on the territory of Gaza, which does not belong and never has belonged to Israel. It's occupied by Israel. Legally, they've been there in occupation for 17 years and longer, really. The United Nations rapporteurs, such as Michael Link, who we interviewed on this show, when they talk about self-defense, if you're occupying a country, you have no right to self-defense against what you're occupying. You can call out a police action if you like, but you're the occupier, and the civilians in the area where you are in occupation are your responsibility. Their safety is your responsibility. The Israeli leadership talks as though they're defending the people of Israel. They have, because they're occupiers, they're responsible for the people of Gaza. And instead, they're bombing them. They've destroyed practically every hospital, every mosque, every university, anything that represents a stable institution of the people has been blown up. And now we have 1.3 million in danger of some type of removal. We spoke to Michael Link. We talked about can the people of Gaza go north? Well, no, they can't go north. Gaza City has been it's been flattened. And it's clear that some type of strategy is functioning in the background to remove the people of Gaza from Gaza. And which takes us back to Egypt, because the only country that would be expected to or might practically provide an escape would be the territory of Egypt. and they have to decide what they're going to do. If they try to move that population south, we actually might see a crisis of a type large enough to cause a change of government or change of position by the Egyptians. And I can bet, although we don't bet here, but I would surmise that the people of Egypt would fill the streets with joy if somebody said, okay, we've had it, the Camp David business is over. But you understand, Phil, that the geopolitical business means that other things would have to happen. Egypt would have to move closer to that dark eastern cloud called Russia-China and the Islamic Republic. And the profile of the country would change so dramatically that, yes, war would probably be, I would call it pretty much inevitable, because we're dealing with a megalomaniacal leader of the Likud party who has private thoughts that I cannot understand. Certainly has an internal crisis. But this is an issue that is not going to go away. It is going to worsen. And I agree with something I think I wish you call to people's attention. I would urge you to be informed at least minimally, officially. You could go to the X or Twitter account of the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. They issued a statement today calling on all states to bring sanctions against Israel, to not arm Israel. I noticed that some in European Parliament people, more than just the radicals, are saying, yes, this should be done. And pointing out that people like the Jolie of the Canadian government say we are concerned, or to really frighten us, we're deeply concerned, the Palestinian state, it's at PMOFA, that's PM, PMOFA would be the way to do it, call it PMOFA, says, if you tell us that you're concerned and you don't do anything, you are complicit. Because your concern, it's like saying, oh, I'm concerned it's raining, but you won't have give someone an umbrella. You say, I'm concerned he's in the rain. Yeah. Give him an umbrella. Do something. You were going to say something, Phil.
No, it's just thoughts and prayers. The Minister Jolie sends her thoughts and prayers to the Palestinians, all the while running interference for Israel. And that's
That fits in with the book by Eve Engler and Owen Schalk, Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. Guess what, Phil? Rob Roth, who is known to this program, a poet, he's the... there's the official poet, one of the official poets. We're appointing him anyway, Owen Sound, and has poems in this book. There are three or four Rob Roth poems on the themes of the countries that have been attacked by the Canadian-U.S. Interference. So one more reason to get with it. So again, this is the Taylor Report, and... reminding you that on the 19th, we will be going to on 11 a.m. So we'll have to adjust to all that. See, other matters, one or two I would just call to people's attention. On this thing, here's one that Rob could add to his list. The most popular politician in Panama, a left-wing man, has just been arrested. An arrest warrant was issued, and he went to the Nicaraguan embassy. So he is in the Nicaraguan embassy, but they're taking him off the ballot to prevent him from becoming elected. So I just have to tell Eve Engler, guess what? You know, you better add a chapter. They already have the Panama chapter, I believe. I can't remember exactly. But because the American government overthrew Noriega, you remember, Phil.
I certainly do.
And Noriega's crime was that he said he wouldn't help them overthrow Nicaragua. They said, well, if you won't help us overthrow Nicaragua, we're going to overthrow you.
And put him in jail for years.
You know? Yeah. So quite a remarkable deal. So remind everybody, Tracks from Abroad is going to be coming up in just a moment. And I thank Phil. And remember, next Monday, 11
o'clock. Yeah.
Okay, Tracks from Abroad. Take it easy. Yeah.